Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The first verse of our reading from St. Matthew today is certainly not one that anyone would choose to give the gospel in a nutshell. Our Lord says about himself here, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." But then these verses of Matthew aren't meant to give us the gospel in a nutshell. The 10th chapter of Matthew contains the instructions that Jesus gave his 12 apostles as he sent them out to proclaim the gospel. Jesus was preparing his apostles and anyone who proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ for the results of that proclamation. "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." These words certainly do not coincide with the unbeliever's perception of the Prince of Peace. And yet it is precisely the unbeliever who responds in such an unloving manner to the words of the Prince of Peace. The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sins because your sins separate you from God the Father, cannot be met with equanimity. The person who hears these words does one of two things. Either he believes that he is a sinner, deserving eternal damnation, and trusting that Jesus has indeed died for his sins, or he refuses to accept that he cannot save himself, and in hubris and pride of heart believes that he himself is capable of doing what God demands of him. Jesus warned his apostles that such an unbeliever would take offense at the one who proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. An unbeliever will not sit idly by while someone tells him he is not as good as he thinks he is, or as good as he thinks he could be. Refusing to believe the gospel will bring division and conflict with believers of the gospel, even if this is between family members. Such was the case for Jesus' apostles. Such is the case for the successors of the apostles, the pastors of the church. And yes, such is the case for anyone who dares to stand on the universality and particularity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A Christian who stands on the clear, unequivocal words of Jesus will be viewed as someone who creates conflict, not because of himself or herself, but because of the word that he or she speaks. Note that the world, that is, any person who does not believe in Jesus Christ, has never taken well to the gospel. It is not a new phenomenon that the Christian church riles the feathers of non-Christians by refusing to accept a wishy-washy plurality of religions and by preaching the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. The enmity with the members of the Christian church is not new. Christians in the first century were not thrown to the lions because they were bad, disruptive people, but because they refused to accept both the civil religion and Christianity as equals. Martyrs throughout the century were killed not because they couldn't get along with the majority, but because they refused to accommodate themselves to Christ's clear scriptural teaching to the principles of the day. Where the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed in its truth and purity, there one will find those who oppose that word and the one who proclaims it. Nor is enmity with the world something that the individual Christian can take or leave. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. As true followers of Jesus Christ, we'll find the cross thrust upon us, not because we choose it, but because God gives it to us. Just as Simon of Cyrene did not volunteer to carry the cross, but was forced to carry it, anyone who stands up for Jesus will suffer for the sake of the gospel, carrying the cross of Christ. But even while we endure swords and crosses, we must never forget that the Prince of Peace is with us, and it is he who works faith in us and others. Those who are both in the world and of the world may reject us and terrorize us, but those whom God has called, those who are in the world but not of the world, will receive us and him who sent us. God will always make certain that there are those who receive our proclamation and thus receive us as true prophets of God. In the end, it is not those who oppose God and his messengers, not those who respond in enmity to God's word, who have the last word, but it is God himself. For the Prince of Peace is no pansy. St. Paul concluded his letter to the church in Rome, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." The Prince of Peace is not that because he tries to get along with everybody, but because he crushes and destroys the very one who brought lack of peace into the world. God has most certainly crushed and destroyed Satan already by his death on the cross. God will replace the world that has been corrupted by sin and that thus opposes God in his word by a new world. Then all believers will have the reward that God has prepared for them. There will be no more conflict, no more enmity, for God will have abolished them all, and the Prince of Peace will reign in peace for eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.